Starting last week, and we are studying the Word of God through the book of Ephesians to create a book of symbolians, right? And how was your first chapters, or the first portion of first chapter of a symbolian last week? Last week, the main message of for us last week was, you and I are being blessed. You and I are being chosen. That is, they draw the big picture of our journey to walk towards God. God defined us to be the blessed one, to be the chosen one through the adoption, through the purchase, through the Christ Jesus. Not because we are great or anything like that, but God initiated this conversation in this kind of a relationship. I feel like I'm echoing. Am I echoing to you too? Are we in a cave in here? Can you, Lord? Okay, I think that I'm coming out of the cave. Can you hear me well? Right. And then through this identification given by God, we can stand up and chin up, regardless of the different labels that we are being given by other people. And we are blessed, we are chosen, regardless of other people, regardless of the mislabel. And some portion of the label is correct, given by other people, but it is not wholesome identification of yours and mine. Our identification in God's definition is, you and I are chosen, you and I are blessed by adoption, by purchase through Jesus Christ. That was the big picture of who we are. But it's through that, and then God, the Apostle Paul is getting into the little more narrow definition of it. How to narrow it down to be the chosen one, how to be the blessed one. And then Jesus is offering so many things, but it's how can be the blessed one and chosen one. And then this, starting today, Paul is answering that question, how to be the blessed one and chosen one from our perspective, not God's perspective. God already said that you are the chosen one and blessed one. And we are saying, yes, we are blessed one and chosen one. We realize this identification continuously in our walk. Instead of what you say so, and I would like to work on it. Paul is approaching that direction of the identification. Starting today, that Paul is pointing out one by one, narrow down this identification of ours, chosen one and blessed one. Verse 15 and 16, let's read it together in responsibility, which means I'm going to be reading the first verse and you're going to be reading the second one. Verse 15 and 16 of Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints,
I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers.
You see, you start with this amazing prayer, start with for this reason. What reason is this? For this reason means for you and I being blessed and chosen because of this reason, because of this amazing God's definition you and I receive. And then ever since Paul heard about good faith, good work, he gave thanks to God. I mean, last week we had an amazing, amazing rummage sale in here. And I've never seen this amazingly organized, systematically graceful rummage sale in my life. And throughout the week, Melissa Bland and her family camped out in the church early morning to night. And the people come in and out, at any time, early morning to night. It was 7 days of church we created this week and the last week. And it amazes me. And the sale, it was so going so well. Somehow, cheerful spirit come in and out. Not just cranking about and making a deal. And the people are so generous. And the people just stop by to help it out, provide the goodies, and also the ASP and youth mission table we had for the, what is called, a bake sale. And then the sale was so amazing. Within 2 days, everything was gone. You were going to get to hear the report of their sale sooner or later too, but the sale was so amazing. And the youth who were overseeing that table during the rummage sale, they testified what godly people, they came, people came in and out, amazing. They experienced it. They witnessed that how godly gifted people we have in this church, in this community. They are so proud that they are part of this community. Through their youth mouth and their experience, they are saying that how awesome this church is. Do you feel that how blessed you and I are to have amazing, generously gifted people in this congregation? If you do feel the same way that I'm feeling and the same way our youth are feeling this day, say amen.
Amen.
Amazing. This is amazing blessing. Some other church, believe it or not, they are gathering together to fight each other, put their agenda to push into the church. In this congregation, we have no such agenda pushers. I have not experienced that. If you experience it, please let me know. I would like to have some conversation over that. But I have not found none. Anyone is pushing that. Get generous. I am so thankful for the every single time when we get together. Every Sunday, every day, whenever I get together with the people of God in this congregation, it thrills me how blessed we are to be the Christian disciples in this amazingly caring congregation. You and I are so blessed. We are so blessed. I am so thankful for this church. Like Paul, when he heard the faithful, loving, giving spirit of the church in Ephesus, he gave thanks to God. They are the truly blessed one. They are the truly chosen one. He gave thanks to God for the church in Ephesus. I gave thanks to God for the church, our redeemers in this community in the 21st century, to touch the future and present together with the joyful spirit and harmonized spirit. And in this passage, Paul continuously prayed for the churches in Ephesus. And then he said, in verse 17, he said, he prayed for this. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. Paul does not want the persons of God in Ephesus to stop in their good work in there. He wanted to further their journey to know God. To know God. Whatever we do, whatever we are being in here, is to know God better. By knowing God better, we will know better of ourselves and no other people, to create a unity and harmonize the community wherever we go. Paul is praying for the wisdom and revelation. This revelation coming through the enlightenment of the eyes of the heart. Verse 18 and 19. Let's read it together and responsibly. Verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of the which he calls you, the riches of his glory inheritance in the saints. And his that power is like the working of his mighty strength. Let's stop there. He prayed for the enlightenment of our eyes, of our hearts. This generation, the generation of the 21st century, is a seeing generation. Unless you see it, you are not going to believe it. Christian community, we talk about love and care and grace all the time. Young people, the new Christian, what Jew, the new person who wants to draw closer to God, know God, they would like to see this love in a tangible form. But this form, this loving, caring community cannot be seen by anyone unless God enlightened the hearts of the eyes of the hearts. The ministry, it is not about language of Korean, English, or Arabic, or Japanese. But the ministry of God is all about the language of love. The language of love coming out of enlightenment of our hearts. The ears and eyes of our heart. You are not going to hear me correctly unless you have love for me and love for God, the God I love dearly. If you have no love for God and for this church, you will not see amazing movement and work of the Holy Spirit in this congregation. Unless you have love for God, love for the community, you are not going to see the movement of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in this community. Unless you and I have a love for God and love for this country, the United States, you will not see amazing movement of God in this country. You will only hear the disastrous debate through the media. You are never going to see the heart of God in this country unless you have love for God and love for this country. Coming back to this community, coming back to your home, if you have no love for God and for your spouse, seriously, you are not going to hear what your spouse is saying to you unless you have love. This love coming out of the enlightenment of our heart. To see, to hear, to feel. This passage said, this prayer, Paul said, through the enlightenment, you will get to know three things. First thing, so he talks about the hope to which God has called us. The hope. We oftentimes misuse this word, hope. Hope is not a wishful thinking or the wishful talk. Hope is a certainty in uncertainties, in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Without the enlightenment of your heart, you cannot believe what you cannot believe. Believe things what you believe is called what? Believe things what you believe, it is called
faith.
It is just normality. Believe things what you can believe. It is a normality. It is not a faith. But believe things what you cannot see, what you cannot believe. It is called faith. That faith accompanied with the hope. When you open up the door of your house, you just assume that. You believe that your door will be open for you. When you do turn the doorknob, when you do open it up, pull it up, or pull it out, it will be open for you. That is a kind of a thing's normality, right? Sometimes it doesn't work when you have a broken door. When you have a snowed in, you cannot open it up. I experienced that for the first time when I moved in here. That is a normal life. But it's the believe things what you cannot believe is a faith. Before it happened, probably in your life right now, you cannot see the light of a hope yet. Because all the burdens, all the challenges you've been surrounded by, That moment is the moment you can claim your hope, certainties in uncertainties. See what you cannot see through the enlightenment of your heart. That is called the faith. That is called hope, not wishful thinking. You and I receive this amazing hope in Christ already. You and I already receive the amazing purpose of our life already. Unless you and I have a lightened heart, we cannot capture it. You feel that you have a hope, you have a hopeless life. Sometimes you do, you feel that you are doing worthless things. Think through. Think again. If you really know what God is doing in your life, you will treasure every single thing around you, in you, because that is amazing place God intentionally put you, locate you, to influence other people, you to be the hope. Again, going back to that, our definition of our being, you and I are being chosen, you and I are being blessed, not for the sake of our own blessedness or chosenness, but you and I are blessed and chosen because someone else out there needed to be blessed by your presence. God sent the only begotten Son for you and me to receive this amazing blessing. It's not stopped there. We are blessed to be the blessings of other people, to other people who need this amazing hope. Through the enlightenment, not just recognize the hope, but is to know the rich of God's inheritance in the saints. It's in the saints, which means not just that people. Again, saints means the people of God, living or dead. The people of God is called saints because of Christ living in us. Through the enlightenment of our heart, you feel rich. These days in the 21st century, especially 2012 and 2011 too, through the recession, people said that, I feel so poor. I wish I have a couple of $1,000 more, you know, for the, to meet that my bill. Sometimes we feel that I needed extra dollars to meet to provide the table money for my family. Some people have think that I wish I have a couple of more $1,000 to buy the bigger house, a bigger car, you know, and all the things. How much money do we need to more to feel rich? $1,000, $2,000, $10,000. You know what? If you and I do not have this enlightened heart, you're going to poor forever. You're never going to be rich. I will never going to be rich at all if I do not have this enlightened heart. If we do have enlightened heart, we know that we are the sons and daughters of God who created everything, who owned everything. Our God the Father is the richest God, and we are the inheritance of this amazing rich God. If you truly know that you are the sons and daughters of this amazing God, you and I should feel rich regardless what other people said. While we are doing what we are doing at our best in the given situation, we are giving glory to God. I'm rich because of you. And God is not tipping us, but God is giving more than what we can imagine. According to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God has a plan for you. The plan prosper you, not to harm you. Give you grace, amazing vision in a future, in a hope. That is amazing rich plan God given to us. Let us know that we are rich people. God is not a tipper. You and I are not a tipper. But you and I are tithers. We give as much as we can to God as a tither, not a tipper. God does not need a dollar. God wants your life, my life. Give all in to experience this richness in Christ's kingdom. Through the enlightenment, also, third, God, we will know the great power, who believe. If you believe in Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior, say amen.
Amen.
That means you have power, resurrective power. When you see that some deadness or death in your life or some area of your life, claim, command that area in the name of Jesus Christ, resurrected. Resurrected power you and I have. Through the enlightenment of our heart, we will know how powerful we are. We sometimes complain that someone said this, someone said that. I am not capable of doing this and that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I am rebuking those negative spirits in you and me in this church. You and I have a resurrected power to give a new life into the death body or death in some area in your life. Command that in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Because of this power of the Holy Spirit, we can continue our walk regardless of the hardship we experience, regardless of the challenge we do experience. We can put our chin up and claim that I am sons and daughters of God who are being blessed, who are being chosen through the enlightenment of our hearts. We know this by heart and claim this identity continuously. I pray that this coming week will be the week of enlightenment of your heart to see truth of you and truth of other people, to continue your journey with hope and power in Christ's name.